same to me as long as I'm with you. Maybe a simple life, but that's okay, yeah. If you ask me, baby, I think I've got it made. Cause I got a roof over my head. The woman I love laying in my bed. And it's alright, alright. I got shoes under my feet. Forever in the eye staring back at me. And it's alright, alright. Yeah, I got all I need. And it's alright.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. The latest on the investigation into yesterday's pickup truck ramming of spectators at a soccer victory parade in Liverpool, England. Detective Chief Superintendent Karen Jandrell.
We have arrested a 53-year-old man from West Derby on suspicion of attempted murder, dangerous driving offences, and driving whilst unfit through drugs. He remains in custody where he is being interviewed.
About 60 people injured. Passengers say there was a pop and a fire coming out of the right engine as their United Airlines jetliner was taking off from Beijing for San Francisco. Takeoff canceled, nobody hurt. Wall Street major indexes surged after President Trump agreed to delay new tariffs on imports from Europe until July 9th. The head of the European Commission wants more time to negotiate. A large elephant seal took a wrong turn, was seen lumbering along a street in South Africa today. Wildlife specialists helped get him back to sea. This is ABC News. NPR says it is suing the Trump administration over an executive order to cut federal funding to public media. After two people were killed and at least nine others were hurt in a mass shooting on Memorial Day in Philadelphia's Fairmount Park, Mayor Sherelle Parker today.
We're not going back to those old stats. That means we need all hands on deck. That means everybody has a role. That means, yes, parents need to know where their children are and what they are doing.
Police say a semi-automatic weapon was used with an accessory that makes the gun fully automatic. A weather warning from ABC News chief meteorologist Ginger Z.
We're still watching the severe line of storms try to make their way through the Gulf Coast, and that had more than 200,000 customers without power overnight in Texas. So there was some big hail. We're talking up to grapefruit-sized hail, more than 100 severe storm reports.
Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Not another one.
26-year-old male wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
How's the driver in the other vehicle?
Yeah, thankfully she's okay. She had her seatbelt on.
It's really sad. You know, these tragedies are entirely preventable.
It's said, click at her ticket. But for some, they should be so lucky. Besides getting a ticket or a fine, the consequences could take your life. So don't risk it. Click it or ticket. This message is brought to you by NHTSA.
Progressive knows you've got enough to worry about in life.
Hi, it's your life again. Feel like another year is just slipping away? Yeah, remember all those New Year's resolutions you made? You still haven't finished the first book. Just 19 more to go. I mean, if we're being honest, it wasn't a very realistic goal. Have you ever considered that you intentionally self-sabotage? So, what's that about?
So, let Progressive protect your home and auto, because you've got enough to worry about. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. Concerns are raised following State Public Service Commission approval of two new natural gas-fired power plants in southeast Wisconsin.
The PSC signed off last week on the We Energies plants, part of a $2 billion project to respond to expected increases in demand from new AI data centers. Tom Content with the Citizens Utility Board representing customers says if that income doesn't pan out, residential and small business ratepayers could be saddled with costs.
We want to make sure that all customers are protected.
Environmental groups are concerned, too, although the gas plant proposed for Oak Creek would be less polluting than the coal-fired We Energies units it would replace. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
While looking for a missing boater in a Madison lake, a body unrelated to that search was discovered. Authorities say the body of a man was recovered from Lake Monona Friday night. The find came during a recovery effort to find the boater who went missing when a group's sailboat capsized on the lake earlier this month. The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office says they'll perform additional testing to confirm the identity of the man found over the weekend while the search for the missing boater continues. Summer is here, which means more grilling, backyard campfires, and burning brush. UW Health Adult Trauma Dr. Patrick Shahan offers up some tips on how to prevent fire-related injuries.
Not using anything that is not specifically labeled as a fire starter to start a fire. The use of gasoline, diesel fuel, any other sort of flammable accelerant is extremely dangerous and probably one of the most common reasons that people end up coming under our care.
Shahan says if you experience a burn, don't hesitate to reach out to a local care provider to find out what treatment's needed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Graduation parties are just around the corner. Do you have your cheese trays ordered? O'Galley Cheese has call-ahead cheese and sausage trays. Their cheese trays feature O'Galley's own squeaky cheddar cheese curds. Fresh, local butcher's meat can be added to any tray. Be sure to ask. Get your orders in ahead of time so there's no worrying about it. Call the store at 715-283-4211 to place your order today. O'Galley Cheese, open 7 days a week, located north of Durand on Highway 25.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy, slightly breezy, with a chance of spotty sprinkles this afternoon and high temperatures flirting with 70. Drizzle is possible tonight and some scattered showers and maybe a rumble of thunder tomorrow. Temperatures slide to the mid-60s and then the sunshine returns on Thursday and so do the 70s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now it's 62 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Barriers with R&D. We'll get an update on crop conditions from Georgia to Michigan. And ag groups are still evaluating the Maha Commission report and trying to figure out what will come next from Secretary Kennedy.
Live from the final stretch of May 2025 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we have Breaking Barriers with Randy Doughty. Then we'll welcome Ag Retailers Association Senior Vice President Richard Gupton. After the news with Michelle Rook, Karen Boner of Farm Journal's Milk will provide a dairy industry update. I'm producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip
Flory. All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. Davis has got a couple of days off here this week in addition to the Memorial Day weekend and holiday. Hope you all had a great weekend. You know, weather-wise, it was advertised to be pretty doggone stinky, but Sunday was a pretty nice day up here in Northeast Iowa. And yesterday, a little cloudy again yesterday, but still better than what I expected. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning and ready to go, fired up for the rest of the week. Just a real quick note on this. We had Brett Waltz from BAMWX Weather on the show yesterday afternoon. We got his forecast and the forecast from the guys at BAM for the right into the middle of the growing season. So he had some important details in that outlook. You should give it a listen if you have not had that opportunity yet. All right, let's bring in Michelle Rook. How are you, Michelle? It's good to see you.
Good to see you too, Chip.
All right, what do you got in the news here this morning?
Well, of course, we went home Friday with these proposed EU tariffs, but over the weekend, President Donald Trump announced that the U.S. is going to delay proposed 50% tariffs on goods imported from the EU until July 9th. He had previously threatened to impose those steep tariffs starting on June 1st, and the market reacted on Friday. Now, the EU said it had agreed to fast-track negotiations with the U.S. to avoid a trade war. However, serious challenges do remain in reducing the $200 billion trade deficit.
Yeah, real quick, it looks like the soybean market was responding to it earlier with a little bit of strength in soybeans and soybean oil.
Oil.
But really not much help to corn or to wheat this morning from that announcement.
No, and I think the wheat market is already trading weather again, maybe. Yeah. And so I don't know if that hurt chances of that helping to push the market back higher. In other trade, India's dairy industry is pushing back in U.S. trade talks, asking for protection in the ongoing trade negotiations with the U.S. The industry warns that allowing American dairy imports could devastate millions of small-scale farmers. India is in those talks with Washington on a comprehensive bilateral trade agreement after the U.S. imposed and then paused those reciprocal tariffs, including the 26% duty on Indian exports. That key sticking point, the U.S. dairy industry's push to open India's heavily protected dairy market, which is currently safeguarded by steep import tariffs and non-tariff barriers. Congress is out this week, though. Senate discussions about its changes to the House passed reconciliation package will continue. With Congress on recess, there will be even more focus on President Trump's trade policy, including those ongoing talks with various countries, including India, as we just talked about, the EU, China, Switzerland, South Korea, Japan, Vietnam, and Thailand, and some are making progress while others face challenges. Talks also continue with the UK to expand on the framework trade accord that was previously announced.
Yeah, all the trade talk, all the trade issues, Michelle, it's creating some uncertainty in all the marketplace, but the Dow this morning seems to like what happened over the weekend with the pause on the EU with a 500-point gain in the Dow this morning. So,
yeah,
just so much uncertainty. I have no idea which way this is going to go next.
Yeah, and it seems like the stock market almost trades this more exuberantly than any of the ag commodities.
Yep.
So I don't know if we're in a prove-me state here with the grain futures and whatnot or not. Yeah. So. USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins this morning announced she'll exercise USDA authority to provide a funding increase of $14.5 million in reimbursements to states for meat and poultry inspection programs. Without the funding, states may not have the resources to continue their own inspection programs, which ensure products are safe. USDA forecast prices for all food will rise 2.9% this year. That's a downgrade from the expected 3.5% increase last month. The lower price forecast was driven by a sharp cut for food at home or grocery prices, which are now projected to rise just 2.1%, down from 3.2% last month, mostly due to a decline in egg prices, which dropped 10.5% from March to April. EPA dismissed rumors it plans a mass approval of 163 outstanding small refinery exemptions, or SREs, from biofuels blending mandates. Given EPA's recent actions and recent public statements, there is no indication the agency intends to reverse its current policy or issue a blanket approval for outstanding SRE petitions. And widespread rains fell from the southern plains to the lower Midwest and Delta over the holiday weekend, with more in the forecast through the middle of the week. Saturated soils will keep planting slow in areas. Central and northern areas of the Corn Belt will also receive some early week rains.
All right, Michelle, thank you very much.
You bet.
Excellent, excellent. All right, let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
I'm great, Chip. Thank you.
Okay, you moderated a panel last week, a farmer panel at the Dairy Alliance Sustainability Conference. What did you learn?
Well, so these were all farmers. They were from Washington, Wisconsin, Georgia, Virginia, all sizes, I will add that. And Chip, we started the conversation maybe a little backwards. And what I mean by that is that we started with talking about profitability and where that fits in sustainability. You know, you talk about cover crops and water, but if you're not, you can do all that right, but if you're not profitable, you're not going to be sustainable, right?
Right.
And so a lot of the dairy producers just talked about what they're doing to drive efficiency. And when they drive efficiency, they're going to drive profitability. So a lot of it's, you know, what farmers have been doing for decades, for generations. It's doing more with less, whether it's with genetics and trying to get more out of that cow, increase components. You and I had conversations about that. Or even if we talk about the feed, you know, what the genetics on the seed that they're planting to be able to use less of their crop to feed their cattle. I mean, there's efficiencies in every corner of the dairy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the fact that you started with profitability on this one, because there were a lot of sustainability panels, conversations that happened early on that never even got to profitability.
Right, and I think that's where we miss out on. We can, like yeah. I said, I think there's a lot of farmers. They're very humble, by the way. They do so much. So they don't really like, I mean, if you talk to my husband, Chip, he doesn't like the word sustainability because it's nothing new. This is something they've been doing for generations. But they're doing water conservation. They're trying to improve the soil health, right? They're doing those things. But they also talked about, hey, you know what? We need to be a good neighbor. And a lot of these dairies, at least on the panel, you know, are living next to something or someone that's not grown up on a dairy. And so it's having those conversations and opening your barn doors, if you will, and explaining why you do what you do.
Yep, it's fantastic. Good stuff, Karen. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Chip.
All right, get more on that story and more, of course, at www.dairyherd.com. That is Karen Bonert, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Randy Dowdy's up next.
Today's consumers want trendy new beverage choices to fit their lifestyle and dietary needs.
Nah, I can't do lactose.
I'm trying to watch my sugar intake.
Got anything with more protein, bruh?
Let's give them what they want. Your Dairy Checkoff invests in product innovation, including ultra-filtered, lactose-free, and reduced sugar milk with added protein. And cool on-the-go packaging to change the fluid milk narrative. See why that matters at DairyCheckoff.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hard-working folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game-changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572. Day one. The hardest day.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Introducing Riverside Plaza, now open at the shop bays of Napa Auto Parts in Durand. Riverside Plaza is a Napa Auto Care Center offering expert service at a price you can afford. Get oil changes starting at just $22.50, plus oil and filter, including a full inspection and fluid top-off. Riverside Plaza also provides tire sales, repairs, fleet maintenance, diagnostics, and wheel alignments. Enjoy convenient drop-off and loyalty rewards. Open until 6 p.m. daily and Saturdays by appointment. Riverside Plaza, 403 West Madison Street, downtown Durand.
Barriers on AgriTalk is brought to you by AgroLiquid. Apply less and expect more? Precisely. That's what you get with a crop nutrition plan from AgroLiquid.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Tuesday morning. Like I said, Davis is taking a couple extra days off this week just to enjoy some time away. All right, let's bring in Randy Dowdy. With breaking barriers with R&D. Randy, it's good to talk to you, man. How are you?
Hey, Chip. You got the B team today. David's actually in the Delta doing a crop tour with Total Acre. So okay. He's actually looking at corn this morning and soybeans. And I'm in Michigan actually trying to do some planting, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Look at the calendar. We should have already been done, but the weather has not been our friend. So
Right. What are you getting done today? I mean,
but
is
I will
first,
tell you,
is the first time plant or replant?
No, this is first time planting on corn. We may have to replant some beans. Got some pretty hard packing rains, and unfortunately, man, it turned off 36, 35. We had a light frost on Friday, high of 49 with 2 or 3 inches of rain. I mean, it just, yep. It wasn't good. So no. The beans haven't rotted, so there's still hope, but that ground sure is hard. We ran the rotary hoe yesterday, which was not fun. Hopefully it's going to come up, but hope's not a good strategy, Chip, as you well know.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys out there that are having to do that, though, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of guys in Michigan, you know, in Indiana as well. There's a lot of people I've talked to around the country that's just frustrated trying to get the first crop in. A lot of guys do flag tests to assess submergence and see how good a job they did. And unfortunately, it's just not coming back ideal. But that's farming. I mean, they do have part of their crop, you know, that's in ideally, but then there's quite a bit that's not. So I'm sure the end of the year is going to reflect a lot of that.
Right, right. How do you make that decision, Randy? How do you make the decision that it's time to get the rotary hoe out?
Oh, man. This ground's just hard. And with corn, you know, it will push a little bit better than beans. The tendency, too, is to back off on population on beans just because you don't really need them, but they don't have as much pushing power either. So the more competition you have in the furrow, the more pushing power it seems to have, and it comes up. But, Chip, there's no substitute for getting out there and digging. You gotta look at the plant, look at the seed, see how it's germinating. You got to get out there and scratch. What kind of resistance is there? And if you've got much resistance, I mean, especially with a soybean, they just don't have a lot of pushing power anyhow. So you got to get out there and make some good decisions. Now, in the South, we like to turn a pivot on. And we turn the pivot on, we're happy. But a lot of people don't have that luxury, right? So They're having to run steel to try to get that emergence to happen more uniform.
Right. Gotcha. What's this crop tour that Hula's doing today?
He's on our total acre. We go twice a year to visit farms, people that's in our total acre group. I mean, what better? I mean, if you got the man that holds the world record having his shadow in your field going out and assessing things, I mean, that's a big deal. And David loves to get dirty. So we've got a crop tour that's going on. You can go to totalacre.com and see where we're going to be. I'll be meeting up with him tomorrow in North Georgia. And supposed to be in Delaware and Maryland next week. And then we just start hitting all over the Midwest. Obviously, those guys are a little ahead of everybody else. He's looking at corn that's pollinated already in the Delta right now. And then the Southeast is in the same position. A lot of that corn was planted, you know, 1st of March, and we collect a lot of heat fast. So
He's
out there doing a crop tour with all our growers.
What kind of data is he collecting? I mean, is it plant health? What stands? What's he collecting?
Oh, we walk the fields and we assess proper germination depth, not proper planting depth, but proper germination depth. We're looking at just overall plant health. I mean, they have been pulling tissue samples throughout the year, so he's looking at some of their tissue samples, telling where the planter man did a good job with the 2x2 and furrow. He's looking at just overall just plant health from a fungicide and insecticide standpoint. Looking at, you know, a lot of people has pollinated out there, and they have problems with stink bugs. Some small grains are being harvested, so he's looking at, are we seeing any stink bug damage in the fields? He's digging. He's a guy that loves to dig. So you will see David on his hands and knees a lot. He looks at root mass below ground as much as above ground to make assessments of, you know, strategies going forward. So he's giving them a full impression of what, you know, there's times we just tell people, hey, man, this is just a cornfield. Then there's times we go out there and say, this is a field I'd push, and here's what I'd go do.
But we make
those assessments on the fly just based off what we see.
Interesting. Okay. You've got another podcast that's ready to hit. What are you guys talking about in this one, in the breaking barriers with R&D?
Well, we've talked to a couple of growers that was in North Georgia, where we're actually going to do the tour. And it's James and Jonathan Hitchcock. And those are very progressive growers. They're NCGA winners. You know, they've done a very good job. They plant peanuts. They plant cotton. They plant soybeans. They plant, you know, corn, obviously. And they've got a little niche there with some non-GMO corn. and we're going to look at that. We tried to pick two growers that was, you know, what are we going to see when we get on the tour and talk about it. So we discussed quite a bit of what they've done this year, some of the things that they like. They've started strip tilling. That's something that's new to them. And we obviously going to look at it and see how it's performing and see maybe some things that we would suggest that they continue to do or maybe, you know, adjust a little bit.
Okay. All right. What kind of process are you using up there in Michigan? Are you strip tilling? What are you doing?
We strip tilled. We had a soil warrior up here. Obviously, we don't have all our equipment that we would normally run in Georgia. So I had them bring me a four-row soil warrior. We strip tilled. It's like watching paint dry. But I wanted to prove the concept would work up here. And we're planting with a 23-row 15-inch planter. The soybeans are flat. We did not strip till those. We broadcast a fertilizer. But on the corn, we actually did a 30-inch strip. And that was to incorporate fertilizer while we're doing it, create a clean strip because it was corn on corn. So okay. A lot of residue left out here, not a lot of heat to burn that residue up over the fall and early spring. So we strip tilled there. We're putting out fertilizer. And we're planting with the new John Deere. We're vetting today. It's a 1795. It's got furrow vision on it. That's something that's new with deer. We're trying to get a snapshot of what the furrow looks like. So we're betting that technology. We've got exact rate, exact shot. We got 2x2 on the planter, in furrow on the planter. So we got a lot happening. If we can get a little bit of heat, this corn's going to come out of the ground smoking because we've got it.
Yeah.
We got a lot of fertilizer underneath the row, and then we're doing with the planter as well. So
right.
We're looking
right.
forward to seeing what we can learn.
Yeah, it sounds like we've got some heat coming by the end of the week into the middle of the corn belt. Like you said, corn's going to take off like crazy. What do you want guys looking at to evaluate what the yield or the potential of a corn field at this early stage? What kind of field evaluations are you doing?
Well, there's a lot of yellow corn out there. And a lot of corn that just needs oxygen from the excessive rainfall. A lot of people are running some kind of fertilizer colder or something that puts some oxygen in the soil. But if they haven't been pulling tissue samples, we really need to be pulling some tissue samples to see what we got. You know, are we low on nitrogen? Do we leach a bunch of that fertility out from our broadcast or our strip till or our in furrow? You know, just depending on what your methods are. But a tissue sample at this point is critical because a lot of people have, you know, surpassed that V5 to V7, but then there's a bunch of corn that has it. Right. And once you reach V5 to V7, I mean, there's still some potential that's there on the rows, the kernels per row, but the rows around pretty much are done by then. So tissue samples is a big deal. And then just seeing, I'm actually encouraging some of the growers to actually pull some fertility soil samples to see with all the rainfall they've had, just to see how much is left in the profile.
Okay.
We've had some guys have some 8, 10, 12-inch events. So now they're wondering where all the fertilizer is. Does that make sense?
Right. Right. Yeah. So, how many times a year do you pull tissue samples, Randy?
We typically start around 350 GDUs, Chip, and we'll pull them every week until we get to about 2,200 GDUs, and that's if we have a relative maturity hybrid that's about 2,800. So we're going about 10 to 14, just depending on how we collect heat in any given year. Man. So we're pulling tissue samples every week for about 10 to 12 weeks.
Wow.
We want to know what the plant's got, not hope what it's got. Does that make sense? You've heard me say it before, Chip. Hope's a strategy, but it's not a good one.
That's right. That's right. I love that. We want to know what is in that plant all the time. Randy, it's fascinating having these conversations with you. And we'll get David back on here in a couple of weeks and see what he's been up to as well. Good luck. Stay safe up there in Michigan.
You too, man. Take care. See you.
All right. Randy Dowdy, Breaking Barriers with R&D. As he said, David Hula is off on a crop tour down in the Delta. Coming up next, we've got Richard Gupton, Senior VP at the Ag Retailers Association.
It's time for a crop nutrition plan that gets more return from every drop. Starting with ProGerminator from AgriLiquid, a complete phosphorus fertilizer product that includes nitrogen, potassium, and iron. More than 30 years of research shows that lower application rates of ProGerminator often outperform other sources of fertilizer. With AgriLiquid's ProGerminator, you can apply less and expect more. Find out more at agriliquid.com.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Corteva Agriscience has launched a pioneer-specific biologicals offering called Nexta. Yield potential is highest before the seed goes into the ground, and Nexta solutions protect and preserve this yield potential season-long with the start-grow-finish approach. Using Nexta solutions, farmers can stress less and yield more. Learn more about how Nexta solutions can increase your crop yield. Call Bauer Seeds and Service, your pioneer dealer serving Durand. Visit them online at BauerSeedsAndService.com.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk up 30 to 1964, July up 49 to 2014, August up 28 to 1979, September milk up 27 to 1965. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets continue to move mostly lower. Even though the cattle on feed report was viewed as positive, some of the market's concerns are the fact that this week's processing rates are expected to be dramatically lower than in recent weeks as packers continue to find ways to build up supply around them to avoid driving the cash cattle markets any higher. Hog markets, meanwhile, are moving up mostly mixed. There is some technical buying in the markets. However, those resistance levels continue to provide some pressure. Now, the pork cutout value still providing support up to 91. June live cattle down 82 cents to 214.97. August feeder cattle down 252 to 297.85. June hogs up 35 cents to 96.87. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets moving lower. Wheat markets moving mostly lower. Soybeans are higher. Corn markets moving mostly lower as the weekly crop progress should look positive here for the crop, especially with the first good to excellent ratings likely to be in line with recent starts. Wheat markets are lower due to a strength in the dollar and a lack of other fresh news. Soybeans, so they're moving mostly higher. New crop corn down 4.75 to 4.46. New crop beans up 3/4.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We talked about it last week. We talked about it yesterday with Kenny Hartman, the president of the National Corn Growers Association. But I feel like we need to continue the conversation and keep this in front of you. The Make America Healthy Again Commission released its report last week. It was widely expected. The anxiety level was basically through the roof on this one. And I want to talk about that with Richard Gupton. He is the Senior Vice President, Public Policy and Counsel for the Ag Retailers Association. Richard, it's good to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Lots going on in D.C.
Man, oh, man, there certainly is. And trying to keep up with everything is a task. There's no question. So the anxiety around this MAHA commission report was that it would attack some very popular pesticides. And let's start with that one, Richard. Was it as bad as what many of us feared it would be?
Maybe not as bad as what we feared, because there was a lot of engagement from the agricultural communities, from ARA, working with our commodity groups and farm groups as well. There was a letter from Congress as well to the MAHA Commission before it was released. And individuals like Senator Hyde Smith, if you saw Secretary Kennedy a few days before the report was released, asking about these questions related to some key tools for modern agriculture and what they were going to be in there. So I think that helped moderate the report, but still there's lots of concerns, contradictory statements in there related to pesticides. It's a major concern for our members and the industry.
Yeah. The two pesticides in particular that I was most worried about was glyphosate and atrazine. Talk to non-farmers here for just a moment, Richard, and explain how those products have been tested and retested and retested again over the years to prove their safety and the way that producers use them, okay?
That's right. Well, for glyphosate and also for atrazine, they've been registered and being able to be utilized by the ag sector for decades. Glyphosate was first registered in 1974. So it's been in place for 50 years. There's hundreds of studies showing that it can be used safely. We have a risk-based regulatory system that EPA reviews the re-registration of those products. For a homeowner, see it in it's for weed killer, a herbicide under Roundup. So if you're going to Home Depot, for example, if you're not familiar with it in the ag space, it would be for killing the weeds in your lawns. So it can be done safely. It has been utilized safely. There's robust research and scientific data that's gone into this and what's been collected and actual data from the use of the product. And again, if you follow the label and follow the law, it can be done in a safe manner, not only on the farm, but at the home as well. Same with atrazine.
Right. So were either of those products, glyphosate or atrazine, were they mentioned specifically in the report?
They were. They were mentioned in the report. Okay. They mentioned EPA is longstanding findings that glyphosate, for example, is not a carcinogen. But then on the other parts of the report, they reference ones that have been disputed, like this World Health Organization report that California tried to use with their label and the saying it's a carcinogen. And we were successful in litigation against California to not put on the label. So they reference those things. And what does it do? It creates, undermines the public confidence in our regulatory system when they mention studies that have been rejected by EPA. That's the gold standard. The Office of Pesticide Programs, it reviews all of that, and they've rejected that it is a carcinogen. So the concern from our perspective is they're including things in there that aren't held up by our own federal agency, and it causes concern with the general public on the safety of their food supply.
Right. Right. Richard, how would you classify or describe the report? I've heard it explained that the report basically explains the problem according to RFK Jr., but it doesn't prescribe anything. It to fix any of the problems that RFK has identified. Is that accurate?
Yeah, they lay out where they see as the problem areas, the areas of concern in this report. Mm-hmm. So they mention pesticides, but they're also mentioning other issues, whether it's processed foods or other things that contribute to the diet of health. And they really focus on children and infants. And so in August, this is the first stage. In August, there will be policy recommendations issued. So we're hopeful, and we've asked for the ag sector and to be included in that, because any recommendations potentially require changes in the FFRA, Federal Insecticide fungicide and rodenticide act, which is the underlying statute for registering pesticides. And I can tell you this, what they're focusing on in infants and children, it's a valid thing to focus on. But I worked up on Capitol Hill when the Food Quality Protection Act was debated and put into law back in 1996. And that was the focus, to make sure we updated and modernized our registration system for pesticides to protect infants and children in particular. And they have, like, they use a 10-time safety factor. They look at residential exposure, drinking water exposure, all of these things to improve the registration process that EPA has been implementing over the last 20 plus years. And so the things that they're asking to take place, Congress did take action back in 1996 with that particular piece of legislation.
Right, right, exactly. It is my understanding the farm groups were basically locked out of the room on this initial commission report. Is that true? And why?
That's right. It was not a very transparent process. They were not part of the commission. You'll have to ask the administration why they didn't. I mean, obviously, we had engagement with various parts of the administration, whether that's the EPA, USDA, with the White House and others, and also at Health Department of Health and Human Services. So sectors from the ag industry did remain engaged, but it was a more informal way. They were not part of the formal process of the MAHA Commission. We've asked for them to be part of that as they look at actual policy recommendations to address the concerns they're talking about. And most of the issues related to the diet and health issues is really off the farm. Is where that could be the greatest, the greatest impact.
Yeah, yeah. So with the report that is coming in August, the recommendations, you've already said hopefully we'll be able to get a seat at the table. Farmers will be able to get a seat at the table on that. Do you think it will happen?
Always be helpful,
Yeah.
So we're going to remain engaged and provide our recommendations, whether we're formally part of the process or not. We work with commodity groups and farm groups here in town, and we'll coordinate with them. And also members of Congress, we're appreciative of the members that have been engaged on this issue. There are MAHA caucuses up on Capitol Hill in the House and Senate, so we've had conversations with those members as well. And I think there'll be a multi-pronged approach to have engagement with them, because all of us want to make sure America's healthy. The farmer is at the forefront in agriculture to produce safe, affordable, abundant food, not only for consumers, but for the globe. And the report does cite the importance of U.S. agriculture producing for the globe, and you're doing it with less farmers. Back in the 1950s, there were 5.6 million farms. Now there's maybe 1.8, depending on the statistics you look at, and they've asked to produce three times as much food with less land and less water and resources. And they can only do that with modern ag technologies, pesticides, new seed technologies, and new fertilizer technologies as well.
Yep, yep. There are some that would say that that this drop in the number of farms and the increase in the size of farms is part of the problem that RFK sees with our food production system, Richard. It's there are definitely appears to be, I shouldn't have said definitely appears, there appears to be some personal agendas at play in this commission.
That's what it seems. I mean, and there's programs at USDA to help promote and support smaller farming operations. Mm-hmm. But it's all the regulations and other costs to operate a farm, or even outside the ag space, you see consolidation, because you need scale. You need size to be able to produce enough to say not only financially sustainable, but also, produce enough for the U.S. globally. And so there's other factors in play related to that. Then there's programs to help support small and farmer operations. But that seems to be his focus. And just one thing I forgot on glyphosate. He likes to cite Europe as well. And they just approved glyphosate, their European Union, through 2032 at least as well. But so for the next decade. So there's regulatory systems that the SMA Commission tries to think is a better standard than the U.S., and they touch on glyphosate, but they're also finding it's not a carcinogen. It can be safe to use as well. So there's just another kind of misleading information being put out there for the general public.
Yep. There are a lot of issues with RFK Jr. that he says, well, they do it this way in Europe. Well, they do a lot of things in Europe. And you look at the state of their ag industry over there, I think I like the way things are happening here better. Richard, thank you so much for your time. We certainly appreciate it. Keep us up to date on what's going on with this, okay?
Will do. My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Excellent. That is Richard Gupton. He is a senior VP, public policy and counsel at the Ag Retailers Association. All right, I'll be back to wrap up this Tuesday morning edition of AgriTalk in a moment.
As veterans.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code SAND25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code SAND25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code SAND25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus. $5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Most out of the bean crop that we possibly can. Joining us now, Tyler Harp, Syngenta Technical Product Lead for Row Crop Fungicides. Tyler, let's talk bushels. How can growers make sure that they're getting the most out of their soybean crop this season and maximizing their yields?
Well, put simply, it's about staying invested. And, you know, there's a lot of acres out there that don't get a fungicide application. There's a lot of growers that make a situational type decision. They go out and they scout for disease. Of course, the problem there is by the time you see the disease, you've already missed a lot of the value you can get from the fungicide by protecting that plant from the disease. So what our data shows is, as opposed to a situational decision and trying to time it every year, just to incorporate it as part of standard agronomic practice. And a fungicide like Merivis Top applied at R3 is going to give you the best overall yield preservation compared to any other crop protection input that might be available at that time to help preserve yield.
Okay, so what kind of results have you seen by making the fungicide and Merivis Top part of the standard agronomic practice?
So what we see is year after year, we average between 6 to 8 bushels over the untreated. So if you think about applying Merivis Top on your farm as part of standard agronomic practice every year for 5 years, 4 of those years are going to be profitable, and 1 of those years might be a break even or a small loss. But of those 4 years that are profitable, 1 of those years is going to be a hit it out of the park, 10 bushels or more yield return on your soybeans.
Outstanding. Hey, Tyler, where can listeners go for more information about Merivis Top?
They can talk to their local retailer or their sales rep. And there's also numerous resources online. You can go to syngentaus.com.
Excellent. Thank you, Tyler. That is Tyler Harp, technical product lead for row crop fungicides at Syngenta.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us accessible, responsive, and reliable. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AtticusLLC.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Davis is taking a couple of days off here this week. Boy, we need to be careful with this. We need to be really, really careful with this. As we talk about it, feeder cattle are sharply lower, $4 to $5 lower, and I guess I wouldn't be surprised if that pressure kind of continues and builds in that market for a little while, because once the stampede starts, you know how things happen. Everybody decides that it's time to get out, so we're going to be paying real close attention to what does happen with this. Brian Grady mentioned that there are a couple of rumors, or one rumor in particular, that is having an impact on the market. And I'll just tell you this. I'm looking for confirmation out there of this rumor. I'm not seeing it, but it has something to do with New World screwworm. I am not finding I'm not finding the confirmation that I want on this rumor at this point. So until we do, the thing is, what people are going to do, if anybody's in a position in that feeder cattle futures market, or even the live cattle market futures market, the decision is probably going to be just to get out. And most of the professionally traded money that is in the cattle complex at this time is on the long side of the market. Last week was a kind of a strange week. You know, we were down big in the morning, and then it came running back. It stair-stepped back to the upside last week as the funds were getting back into long position. So, yeah, we need to keep track of this one and watch it very, very closely. But there is as far as I can see, and I did just a quick look, but as far as I can see, there is no suitable confirmation of the rumor that is floating around the market. Okay. There are other rumors out there in the market about the RFS and the RVOs, the renewable volume obligations. There was a rumor on this last Friday that the RVOs were going to be out last Friday. That didn't happen. The rumor today is that the RVOs are going to be released sometime on Friday morning, upcoming Friday morning. You know, I don't know if that's true or not either, but the attitude is that, and I've seen several conversations about what is EPA waiting for? Why aren't the proposed renewable volume obligations released? Should be out by now. Well, should they? If you look at history, And I know that this administration is different. The speed at which they operate is something that we're all still getting used to be quite honest with you. So I realize this is a different animal that we're kind of dealing with right now, but it is not unusual for the proposed RVOs to come out in June. We get those RVOs out, and then the final numbers on the RVOs then come out sometime after Thanksgiving, usually. But before the end of the year. So the timing is close to normal, but we're not quite there yet on when the proposed RVOs should be released. Wiesmeyer did a quick study of the EPA announcements, and so policy analyst Jim Wiesmeyer did this study, and he basically found that, yeah, there's some deviations out there, but for the most part, we get the proposals released in June, and then we get the finals in November or December. Okay, we talked a bit with Randy about some of the temperature issues that the crops are dealing with. A lot of yellow corn, soybeans that have been very slow to emerge. They haven't. I mean, when a guy like Dowdy says, you know, well, they haven't spoiled yet or rotted yet, so there's still a chance. He's been checking and checking a lot out there, so the anxiety level is high on whether or not they're going to have to replant some beans out there. But the warm temperatures are on the way. The National Weather Service on yesterday afternoon, on May 26th, put out the 6 to 10 day outlook for June 1st through the 5th, and it's got above normal temperatures expected over basically the entire Corn Belt. You get into the far southern production areas, southern Missouri, far southern Illinois, Indiana. You're looking at near normal temperatures in the forecast there. But we've got above normal with the bullseye for above normal temperatures in the northern production areas, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and on over into Michigan. Now, the rains are expected to continue. We are looking at the odds of above-normal precipitation across Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Northwest Iowa. So there's still rain in the forecast, which is what we talked about with Brent Waltz from BAMWX.com on yesterday afternoon show. He said we've still got some rain chances coming up until we get to about the middle of June, and that's when these models all start to build a consensus of below normal precipitation. The 8 to 14 day forecast, this is for June 3rd through the 9th, calls for below normal precipitation nowhere in the Midwest. We've got above normal precip in the northern production areas. We've got near normal in the eastern and southern production areas, and above normal temperatures expected across the entire Corn Belt. Hey, come back this afternoon. We've got Luke Beckman from Central Valley Ag here on AgriTalk.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grains. A strong control plan, including chemistry rotation in the bin, helps stop insects before they start. At Central Life Sciences, we believe in making every kernel count toward your profits. That's why Gravista Insecticide features a 3-in-1 formulation of insecticide, synergist, and insect growth regulator. Now available in a convenient quart size, designed for empty bin treatments to help you store smart and make every kernel count. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
This Father's Day, visit Boot Barn for top quality gifts that pay tribute to the lasting heritage of the West. From handcrafted cowboy boots and American-made felt hats to durable jeans and outdoor gear, our in-store experts can guide you as you shop, assisting with boot sizing and helping you navigate the store so you can find the perfect gift. Share a piece of the American spirit with him this Father's Day. Boot Barn, unwrap the West.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-931-3030. So if you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, call now. Find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-931-3030 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You're listening.